بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم وما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله we continue the majlis of Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullahi Alayh and today we discuss Fana. Here you have seen the way the Ruhani illness was treated by Ruhani doctor, how the treatment had commenced before Bay'at. So just to refresh in our memories, last we discussed about the Islah of the Ra'is, the mayor of his town, when he took Bay'at, or he decided to take Bay'at to Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi told him, okay, you can come to a certain place where he was and you can take Bayat there. But Hazrat noticed when this person, this Ra'is, leader, person of high profile, when he came, he brought his Khadim wood, his servant wood, and the servant was carrying the tree of sweetmeats on his head. Because this Ra'is was excited, he'll take Bayat today, to Buzurg Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayh, and out of excitement and joy, he'll distribute some sweetmeats. But he made the servant carry the sweetmeats tray on his head. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayh noticed that, and now decided to make his islah before even making him bayat. And the discussion was, the Buzurgs of the past, the Mashayikh of the past, if somebody decided to take bayat, they'd give them Bayat, but first, or many times they'll make the person go through Islah before even taking Bayat. So with this person, when he comes there, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi tells him, no, I'll give you Bayat at another place. I need to go there very urgently. And he had some work there. So the Buzruk had to accompany him. The Ra'is had to accompany him. But it so happened that that servant, when he came, he left the sweetmeats tray and he had to go. The Ra'is did not know that now, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayh will say, we won't take Bayat here, we give you Bayat somewhere else. So the servant is gone. Now who's going to carry the sweetmeats tray? So the Ra'is himself takes the tray and he puts it on his own head and he carries it. And Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayh deliberately makes him go past all those places where all his friends were watching. Now imagine a man of that caliber. He's got his, he's carrying his tray of sweetmeats. Like how you tell somebody, a very wealthy person, and now he must carry a bag of potatoes, a sack of potatoes on his shoulder, and all his workers are seeing him. His Hazrat is going to take bayah to some person. So this is part of the Islah. So they went to one place. Again, Hazrat Thanvi said, no, I need to go somewhere else. Several places they went like this. Until finally he gives them bayah. Then that Ra'is himself, when he went out, he told his people that Hazrat had noticed that I made this Khadim of mine carry the sweetmeats. And he was not happy about that. And therefore he made me undergo this process of Islah to annihilate myself. This pride that I had to be broken. So this was prior to him even taking Bayat. So Hazrat Rahmatullah now explains about Fana. He says, we have Ruhani illness, spiritual illnesses. And we go to a spiritual doctor. So here you have seen the way the Ruhani illness, whether it was pride or vanity, it was treated by the Ruhani doctor. How the treatment had commenced before even taking Bayat. Hazrat Wala Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say, in my methods, the first step is Fana. That is Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say, in his method of Islah, the very first step is Fana. Fana is an Arabic word which means to annihilate, to destroy. The Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, Kullu man alayha fan. That everything on this earth will be destroyed. It will come to an end. So here we are making Fana of the nafs, killing the nafs, destroying the nafs, the egos, the passions that we have, the evil passions. So, Maulana Abdul Bari Rahmatullahi Alayhi was another great Buzurg. He was present at that time. He was quite puzzled. So he told Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, but the kitabs have the stage of fana as the final stage. First the murid goes through easier steps, stages, until finally he reaches the stage where the Shaykh makes him undergo complete fana'iyat, as we say. And Hazrat, you are talking about fana first. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah replied, yes, that is true. With me, fana is the first step. Until there is no fana, Islah will not take place. It's a very valuable point. Until there is no fana, where the nafs is not going to be going through this process of annihilation, Islah will not take place. We all wish Islah to take place in our lives. But we are not prepared to go through the stage of fana'iyat. Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali, if you recall that incident, how he put Shibli through a process which led to fana. For the new brothers, or those who haven't heard this incident, we'll just quickly mention the gist of it. When Shibli Rahmatullah Ali came to Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat, I'd like to take bayat to you. He said, no, no, you're also a leader of us, your whole community. You must go there, go back and ask all those people for, go and beg from those people. You must go and beg door to door. Nobody gave him anything. So several times, he said him the second time again. And then the third time when he went, he was sent, that if anybody gives you anything now you must distribute it amongst the poor. For 3 years he underwent that process. Imagine he has to go back to that village where he was a leader once upon a time. He has to ask the people for maaf. He has to beg from those people. He has to lower himself. He has to humble himself. So Hazrat Wala did the same thing with this Ra'is. One has to work oneself up to such a stage, so much so, that if a person comes from the back and gives you a thump, this was also mentioned, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali said, somebody comes suddenly from the back, gives you a thump, that's when you see your true character. Are you becoming enraged or not? So he says, so much so, if a person comes from the back and gives you a thump with his fist, you will not even turn around to see who it is. So if a person goes to the stage of fana'iyat, his nafs is completely killed. Now if somebody thumps him also, he won't bother to see who it is. So much so that if a person comes from the back, gives you a thump with his fist, you will not even turn around to see who it is. Not even for that moment must the heart be distracted from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now look at the level where these mashayikh went to. That those few seconds you turn around to see somebody else, others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your thoughts will go to somebody else. Even that they did not tolerate. This awareness of Allah ta'ala, this khushu' is to be maintained all the time, not only in namaz. We talk about khushu', our mind only goes to namaz, you got to concentrate. No. Throughout our day, throughout our lives, khushu' means this awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be dominant. So therefore in our dealings also, in our transactions, when we interact with people at home, in public, wherever, the person has the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will behave according to Sharia. If he forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then obviously no laws of Sharia will come to him. He won't bother about it. And then he'll do as he pleases. That is why it is said right in the beginning that Allah ta'ala had sent man into this world for the sole purpose of making his ibadah. If you recall right in the beginning when we started this whole series of the first majlis is still carrying on of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. I mentioned last week in one gathering, probably 2-3 hours may have taken, and he discussed all these things. So in the beginning he mentioned, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created jinn and man except for my ibadat. That's how the whole majlis had started. So man came into this world and the sole purpose was to make the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Our objective is to be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ibadat during all our activities. To put it another way, Allah Ta'ala is saying, when you eat and drink, you must do it according to my laws and my instructions. So if you eat and you drink, although outwardly you are fulfilling your own desires, you are hungry, you are satiating yourself, so you are benefiting. But if you do it according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws, how Rasulullah SAW has taught it to us, then the eating also becomes ibadat. The drinking becomes ibadat. And this is the whole majlis comments in this way. That sometimes we think, so only our salat is ibadat. Only the hajj is ibadat. Only the fasting is ibadat. No. Every second of our life can become ibadat. All our activities can become ibadat. As long as we do it solely for the pleasure of Allah and according to the pleasure of, to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you eat and drink according to my laws, that is Allah Ta'ala's laws and instructions, it is ibadat. When you answer the call of nature according to my laws and instructions, it becomes ibadat. A simple thing like going to the toilet, if it's done according to Sharia, then that also becomes ibadah. And so forth, so on. This can only happen when the nafs has been cleansed of akhlaqi razila. So you will recall we did akhlaqi razila, akhlaqi hamida. Razila again, the evil traits the person has. The anger, jealousy, pride, vanity, enmity, malice, greed, all those things. Akhlaqi razila. We're going to remove that first from our heart. Then we're going to beautify, decorate our heart with all good qualities. So this can only happen when the nafs has been cleansed of akhlaqi radhila. Remember, the basic instincts will remain, manifesting themselves when ordered to do so. Again, we discussed about anger. So we are not going to remove anger totally from ourselves, no. Because every person requires anger for the right cause, the right purpose. If a person doesn't have anger at all, then when he is faced with an enemy that is going fighting against Islam, then how is he going to wage jihad? How is he going to stand up and confront them? So that time, he requires that anger. But otherwise, with your wife, children, fellow human beings, for no reason, you don't go and hit any person. You don't kill any person. You don't just get angry for no reason. Everything has a reason. So here, Sharia tells us that we will still have the basic instincts within us, but it will only manifest when we have been ordered by Allah Ta'ala to do so. The Qazi sahab. Qazi is a judge. Now in Shariat, there are laws for every single person. Businessman for his business, also there are laws. Husband and wife, there are laws. Children, there are laws. For yatim, there are laws. For widows, there are laws. Masjid has laws. Everything has laws. Even for a judge, a Muslim judge, there are rules. Babu Adabil Qadi. The etiquettes concerning a judge. These are books in jurisprudence. They are taught in the madrasas. So the Qazi will be told, when you enter the courtroom, do so with dignity. Seat yourself with pomp. Lean back in your chair with majesty. These instructions are for the judge. They appear in the kitabs. As Zaji Rahman said, if you so wish, go and check them. The critic may say, but these are all signs of takabbur, pride. Yes, very much so. The Qazi has been ordered to adopt this type of attitude. This is an occasion for such behavior, so that awe is created in the public for this office, so that the administration of justice does not become a sport and game. The majesty of the Qazi in the courtroom has to be maintained. Should the head of the state, the Khalifa, be called to give evidence, then too, he will have to stand and give evidence while the Qazi is seated. So this is not called pride. It is not called pomp in the real sense of the word. But the Qazi has to sit in a dignified manner. And he has to command order and respect. So outwardly it may seem to some person that he's sitting on the chair and he's propped up, and as though he's got pomp. No. So the Sharia says that even if the head of the state, the Khalifa, has to come for some case, he will stand before the Qazi. Qazi will be seated. Qazi won't stand up for him, because he's the judge. And this is what the courtroom demands. The fact that the Qazi has been appointed by the Khalifa, who is actually his superior, does not alter the situation of the Qazi. He will still sit on his chair. The takabbur that the Qazi exhibits is suratan. Suratan means outwardly. It appears as though it's takabbur, not haqiqatan, not in reality. Hazrat then mentioned something very important. He says, from this, one can deduce another important rule. Do not judge yourself against the behavior of the friends of Allah. The true friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The true Ahlullah. Those who are genuine awliya Allah. They may exhibit certain characteristics which may appear different or may appear as though they are haughty and arrogant. The haughtiness is suratan, outward. Yours is haqiqatan. As he says, ours is haqiqatan. The Ahlullah have gone through the process of tazkiyah. They are aware of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. They bear the thought of presenting themselves in front of Allah ta'ala constantly. We cannot draw an analogy with them. We can't draw an analogy with them and think, oh no, see they, how they are behaving, we also should behave like that. Oh, that seems to, that they have also got pride. No. Their anger is suratan, outward. Our rage is haqiqatan, a reality. The lives of Ahlullah according to Sharia, whether one looks at ibadat, mu'asharat, mu'amalat, while the creation is lost in slumber, they are awake. The mu'amalat is clean. The mu'asharat is such that they do not cause any inconvenience to others. On the contrary, they bring ease and comfort to others. Their temperaments are even, changing the attitude only when others deliberately break the relationship. It certainly appears in Hadith Sharif that when Allah Ta'ala loves somebody, it is announced on earth that the creation should love that person too. The Mufassireen write, the scholars write, that this does not include that situation where somebody has caused a breach in the relationship because of some worldly affair. How is it possible to be affectionate to such people? To end, Azadji Ramadullah says, let's recap. Why has man been sent into this world? For ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. What should one's every breath and act be in this world? Ibadat. These subjects have been explained at length to you. Many have categorized agriculture, commerce, and so forth as worldly activities. Whereas, in fact, all of these things become ibadat when it is done in accordance to Allah Ta'ala's commands. So only when these activities go beyond the limits of Sharia, agriculture, commerce, whatever it is, the so-called dunya activities as we term, if it goes beyond the limits of Sharia, do they become opposite of ibadat? Otherwise, it is ibadat. We are to blame for taking them outside the bounds of Sharia and making them worldly activities instead of ibadat. You'll find virtues of agriculture and commerce listed in the kitabs. Virtues of trade, kitabs have been written. Somebody had mentioned Imam Muhammad Rahmatul Ali, he was the student of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatul Ali. He wrote big kitabs. He didn't write anything about zuhud or something like that. So he says, no, I have written. If you look in the kitabs, then all the different masail, whether it is for a businessman, whom Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, before you open your business, go and study the masail of business. Now how many of us do that? After we open the business, and then we do some wrong transaction and deals, and then thing is done, then we run to the Mufti Sahab to make it halal for us. So learn the masail first before we do our business. And not intricate masail, basic masail of business we should all learn. Nonetheless, all these things become ibadat if it is done according to Sharia. We go beyond the limits of Sharia, it no longer remains ibadat. So Hazrat Ji says, you'll find virtues mentioned in the kitabs, virtues of trading, virtues of agriculture. If these activities were not ibadat, why would the virtues appear in Hadith Sharif? We have been created for ibadat. It is in this light that each one of us should judge and assess himself. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq with ikhlas and sidq. So this was the very first majlis that Azizi Rahmatullah Ali had, or mentioned in this particular book, not his first majlis, in this particular discourse of Azizi Rahmatullah's majlises. This was the first one about why we have been created. That is to make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all these activities which outwardly seem they are dunya activities also become ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to have khushu, and we explain khushu, the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for that we require ilm, knowledge, so that we can rid ourselves from akhlaqi radila, the evil traits, and we can beautify our hearts with akhlaqi hamida. Remember the example we gave of istighfar in Durood Sharif. A person will first make istighfar, wash away and cleanse the filth from his heart. Then a person applies itar. So he washes the clothes, garment is clean, then he applies itar. Then he reads Durood Sharif. Hazrat gave example of being connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that we explain about istighfar. Then we went into huququllah and huququl ibad. And for a few majlises we explained the importance of huququl ibad, fulfilling the rights of fellow human beings. So important. And then we discuss the three faculties of man, quwwati ghazabiyya, shahwiyya, aqliyya. And we discuss also those few examples of Islam, how it took place. How does he give the tartib of suluk? How a person when he takes bayat, what is important and how the Islam takes place. And then today, alhamdulillah, we mentioned about fana, when a person annihilates himself, when he destroys himself. Hazrat Ji Ramadhu mentioned an incident, because he mentioned about the qazi, a judge, that the qazi commands respect. And he, even if the khalifa of the time has some case, and he has to appear in the court of the judge, whom the khalifa has appointed as a judge, so the khalifa is superior to him, but still, there are certain etiquettes and rules of Sharia, which even the khalifa has to abide by. And we'll discuss this waqiyah, and then we'll terminate, inshallah. So he says, it was the time of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He is Amirul Mu'mineen. He is the leader of the believers. He is the Khalifa. And there's an incident between Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and a Yahud, a Jew who lived in Medina. As a subject, he lived under the rule of Amirul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. So, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala had an armor. And this armor was stolen. One day, whilst walking through the marketplace, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala recognized his armor. And this was in the possession of a Jew. So he went up to the Yahud and he said, "This is my armor." The Yahud retorted, "Bring witnesses to prove it. You got no witness? Bring a witness. Alternatively, file a lawsuit." Ali radiallahu anhu immediately proceeded to the Qazi of that time, whom he had appointed, and his name was Qazi Shuraih rahmatullahi alayhi. And he laid a charge of theft against this Yahud. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu goes to Qazi Shuraih, and he files a suit, and he says that this Yahud, he claims that the Yahud has stolen my armor. So the case comes before Qazi Shuraih. Both the plaintiff and defendant presented themselves in front of the Qazi. Qazi Shuraih rahmatullah alayh, without becoming overawed by the presence of Amirul Mu'mineen Ali radiallahu ta'ala, imagine, he's the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the Khalifa of that time. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala seated himself . So Qazi Shuraih, without being overawed by the presence of Amir Mu'mineen, the Qazi seats himself with the pomp that the situation demanded. Calmly, without any trace of discomfort or panic, he started his questioning. He asked the Yahud, "Does the armor belong to Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Amir Mu'mineen?" Yahud flatly denied it. Thereupon Qazi Shurayh radiallahu ta'ala turns to Ali radiallahu ta'ala, calmly requested, Amir Minin, bring witnesses to support your claim. So in hadith, in Sharia, we say, al-bayyinatu ala al-mudda'i. A person who is claiming something, he must bring bayyina, he must bring proof. He must bring some witnesses, he must bring some proof. Hazrat-ji Ramadul Ali commented, without doubt, it was unthinkable that the claim of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala was not valid. Unthinkable that he's just making a false claim. Yet proceedings had to be in accordance with the rules laid down by Sharia. He's Amir al-Mu'mineen. But still, you have to follow Sharia. Whether it's Amir al-Mu'mineen or whether he's a street sweeper, you have to bring proof. Wallah. So, others who have adopted civilized attitudes have learned this from Islam, as Jiraman says. And then too, they could not equal the standards laid out by Islam. So to continue the story, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu produced two witnesses to say this is his armor. One was his son, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, and the other was his freed slave, whose name was Qambar radiallahu ta'ala. In his opinion, he brought two witnesses, the evidence of these two was acceptable in Islamic law. However, Qazi Shurayh radiallahu ta'ala differed in his understanding of the law related to acceptability of witness. In his opinion, and that is the Sharia law, the evidence of the son in favor of his father was not acceptable. He thus rejected the evidence of Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, accepting the evidence of the freed slave only, so he only got one witness. Now imagine, Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But still, the law of Sharia applies. Qadi Shurayh radiallahu ta'ala addresses Ali radiallahu ta'ala, bring another witness in place of Hassan radiallahu ta'ala. The evidence of your slave, seeing that he has been freed, is accepted. Ali radiallahu ta'ala replied, I have no other witnesses. So because of a lack of sufficient evidence, a second acceptable witness that he didn't have, he only had one witness, his free slave, Qadi Shurayh radiallahu ta'ala dismissed Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala's claim, acting according to Sharia and not according to his personal faith and confidence on the truthfulness of Ali radiallahu ta'ala. So he dismissed the case and he said that your case is not valid against the Yahud. The Yahud in the meantime was observing the whole proceeding with full attention. On leaving the courtroom, he watched intently to see the reaction of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He says, there was not even a flicker of annoyance on Ali radiallahu ta'ala's face. Not a word of displeasure passed his lips at the verdict. Despite being Asadullah, the Lion of Allah, the title he had earned for his courage against the disbelievers. The Yahud then addresses Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and he says, the reality of the situation has become quite clear to me. That your deen, your religion is the true one and your attitude is its effect on you. The Yahud continued, here take it, the armor is yours. And I herewith proclaim that I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and messenger. And he recites the kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, I in turn present this armor to you. The net outcome was the Yahud became a Muslim. He remained with Ali radiallahu anhu until a day came when he became shaheed in a battle and he gained martyrdom. So we see the justice of Islam and how this Yahud was affected by the truth of Islam, the justice of Islam, and also the reaction of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And when he saw that he did not become annoyed at all, And he saw that this was what Islam is all about. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, there was not a flicker of any anger on his face. And this was Shariat. So he said, immediately he embraced Islam. My respected brothers and elders, may Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exactly how Allah has commanded us to do. And bearing in mind huququllah and also huququl ibad. Fulfilling the rights of fellow human beings, I mentioned in one of the programs, that this does not refer only to Muslim fellow beings. Even non-Muslims, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's your worker, whoever it may be. And we know the different comments that we hear today. I'm not going to go into the details of all those things, but let us make an introspection of our own lives. How do we behave with other people? What is our attitude in our jobs, in our workplaces, in our factories, in our institutions, in our colleges, wherever we are, and we have non-Muslims working for us? How do we treat them? Do we show the justice of Islam? Do we show equality? Do we show the rights, the etiquette, the manners, the rights of fellow human beings? And if we did this, then we would have found an exact result what they found in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. We go to any mufti, let alone non-Muslims, two Muslims going to an Islamic organization or going to a mufti or to any alim because they've got a dispute, and Allah forgive us. It's a simple matter. All is that just one person has to just humble himself, focus his some part of his right, whatever it is, and a verdict is given according to Sharia, then we're not happy. So then we go to another mufti and he carries on. Years will go on. Years will go on. And the dispute is not resolved. What happens? Then nobody is talking. Two families split. In the masjid also, we won't want to sit together. So it just becomes worse and worse and worse. Now if we're not going to make islah of ourselves, and if we're going to behave in this manner, and there are so many other reasons also, then we're going to get situation that we are suffering now, and then we'll complain this drought, and we want to do this and do that. But we are digging our own graves in simple terms. May Allah give me tawfiq first, and all of us tawfiq, of opening our eyes. I mentioned the other day, Friday, about the emergence of the Dajjal. When all that will happen, Allah knows best. But the point is, the signs of the hour, the signs of Qiyamah, are coming one after the other. Minor signs, all have taken place. To the best of our knowledge. We're just waiting for the major, when that will happen, we don't need to sit and take a calculator and calculate all those things. We have to be prepared. Before the Qiyamah takes place, Maut comes before that. We all taste death. So let us ponder, we've got children, grandchildren, we've got a progeny that is coming up. And if we're still going to harbor ill feelings, malice, and have the same attitude that we have, then how are we going to give them the true deen? What is going to happen to them? So the purpose of all these majlises is not to just to sit and pacify ourselves. No, it is something for us all, myself first. Allah forgive me. I told you many times, the worst example to ever be sitting here. But we have to sit down, ponder, reflect. And we can talk about our mashayikh and the elders, and we can talk different waqiyas of Buzrughan al-Din, and we can nod our heads and we can say, one thing, Hazrat was like this, and that Mawlana was like this. But what about ourselves? What about ourselves? When are we going to emulate those beautiful lives of Sahaba? The beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Simple thing at home, start at home. We have workers who are working for us. How do we treat them? We forget that they have family and children. So if we just start simply, treat them in the right manner. Hidayat is in Allah Ta'ala's hands. Accepting Islam or not, that is Allah Ta'ala's hands. But what we are expected to do is give da'wat also by means of our actions. We get complaints from so many people. Outwardly he seems to be very pious. But see how he sways his workers. You won't believe it. See how he talks to them. So Allah forgive us. See, these are things that we have to understand. It is only Allah's kindness Allah Ta'ala has made our hifazat. May Allah make our hifazat. May Allah bless us with afiyat. But we have to make islah of ourselves, not tomorrow, not next week, but immediately. And take the first step. Take the first step. Hazrat Ji Rahman made it so easy. That bring our all our activities of dunya, make it ibadat. Because that's the purpose why we have been sent into this world. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Do not go beyond the limits of Sharia. Sharia, that governs us. The laws of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you do not know, find out from ulama. Go to the mufti. Am I doing the right thing or the wrong thing? Then inshallah we will find peace, tranquility, serenity. We will get barakat. We won't be living in fear. We won't see drought. So many places. There's no water. There's ration for water. Everybody is pareshan. We have to make immediate istighfar, every single person. Sincerely, cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It takes a matter of few seconds, the whole country can be having suffering drought. Whole country. So many things can go into chaos. But Allah ta'ala's mercy will descend when we make sincere tawbah, istighfar, and we take those first few steps, always see, take the baby step towards Allah. Allah comes running to us. Take the first step. If we can't go to the first step, fana, at least start from the beginning slowly. Try and fulfill the rights of Allah and the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhir da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu.